Welcome to Four Down Territory. As Stink and Mike take a look at the four biggest stories in Denver sports. Here's Schlereth and Evans kicking it off with First Down.
Good morning. What a day. What a day ahead of us. NFL Draft. Nuggets, Lakers, Game 3. Here we go. NFL Draft up first, which means get ready to watch a lot of Adam Schefter on ESPN.
I have Adam Schefter from ESPN on the line. He heard a rumor.
Oh, great. Tell Schefter to stick his rumor up.
Sonny.
All right, then tell him I'm not taking any media calls right now.
Man, I'm ready. I'm hoping. I may watch draft day this afternoon just to get...
Yeah, just get to fired get up.
Fired up and hoping
you
that
ready?
Sean Payton is able to channel his best Sonny Weaver tonight.
Think he'll do it?
Move around, trade up, trade
according
back.
To my sources.
Still come away with the guy he wants.
Adam will be on the... Like on the set with the phone, it'll ring. He'll excuse himself. I gotta take this call. Love it.
Adam's already looking pretty haggard right now.
Oh my gosh, he hasn't slept in weeks.
Mark, how do you think Broncos country will feel if they do not come away with a quarterback in the first round tonight? And when I say first round, notice what I said, first round. Not necessarily moving up to get one, not necessarily staying put at number 12. That could also mean trading back and still getting one. But do you think Broncos country will be disappointed or outright furious if they do not come away with a quarterback in the first round?
Yes, of course I do. They will be, they'll be perplexed. If they don't get a quarterback in the first round, then, obviously, only first rounders have success. If you don't draft a guy in the first round, first round, if you draft a guy in the first round, you're guaranteed success. So Hall of Fame, the guy goes directly to the Hall of Fame.
I appreciate the snark. I do. Yeah. I love the sarcasm. Hey, if they pick a quarterback, then Sean Payton loves him. If they don't, then there was no guy there that Sean Payton loved. And the last thing, and I don't think this is the case. The last thing I want is Sean Payton to draft a quarterback just because he feels he has to draft a quarterback. I don't want Sean Payton throwing darts.
Right.
I have too much respect for Sean Payton's ability to evaluate quarterbacks and work with them and develop them to just have him resort to throwing darts. And I don't think he will.
I don't think he will either. I really don't. But I do think people will lose their minds if they don't get a quarterback in the first round.
I agree. Now, all that said, boy, I hope there's a quarterback that he loves.
I remember.
I hope there is, and I hope they come away with a quarterback in this first round because that means Sean Payton found a guy he loves. And
we talked to Troy Rank about Patrick Surtain. I remember people freaked out when they took Patrick Surtain and they didn't take Justin Fields. You've seen how bad it's been the last 2 years behind, with Russell Wilson here. Justin Fields is playing behind Russell Wilson now. But people freaked out about that.
Yeah, I know. But the argument there is that is that at least they wouldn't have given up the King's ransom for Russ, including the contract.
Right. And
that's the argument. Okay, not that we'd be better off with Justin Fields or Mac Jones, but that we wouldn't have overinvested in gone through Russ.
Yeah, but we'd still be right here.
We
need a quarterback.
True.
We'd still be right here.
True. Yes, absolutely.
Second down.
Nuggets, Lakers, game 3 coming up tonight in LA. Michael Malone getting into the X's and O's of this series.
We're going to do what we do. Yes. And then you read the game, you read the flow, how you're being hurt. And then you make your adjustments. But, we've probably, since we knew we were playing the Lakers, Wednesday was our first practice, we've gone over our game plan and we've gone over adjustments for a lot of different players and play calls that we haven't even had to show yet.
Help me out with this one, because Malone continues to be criticized as somebody that, I'll give him high marks. He's created a good culture and the team, seems to know how to handle clutch moments, things like that, but he's not a really good X's and O's guy.
Right.
Well, all I know is that Anthony Davis was unstoppable through three quarters. And then he disappeared in the fourth.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think that maybe there were some defensive adjustments as to how they guarded him that were, you know, drawn up by this coaching staff? You don't think that there were some adjustments made? You don't think there were any X's and O's involved in this massive comeback the other night?
You think they drew up the play for Murray to hit that last shot?
No, that was Jamal go make a play.
Well, I mean, okay, let's go.
But there were options. There were options to that play.
X's and O's. If you're going X's and O's, what would your coach say after the night Murray had? You're not taking this shot. We're going to give this shot to somebody else. Michael Porter Jr. Let's set something up for Michael Porter. No, I trust my guys.
I trust my guy. Yeah, and that's why, for all the criticism of Malone as an X's and O's tactician, substitution patterns, all that, if you give me the choice between X's and O's and this great X's and O's coach versus somebody who just puts his players and team in an environment to thrive, I'll take that every day over X's and O's.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, in a perfect world, you have a coach who does both, but those are really hard to find. There have only been a few of those in the history of the NBA. So I'll take what this guy's strengths are, and I really won't stress over the perceived weaknesses, which, by the way, I don't think are as weak as some people like to make it. Nuggets win tonight?
Yes, I think they win tonight.
You think so?
Yeah, I do. You?
Well, this is one of those cases where I do buy into the idea they're going to be playing 5-on-6, or 5-on-8, excuse me. Because, come on.
They have it every... In the 10-game win streak, they've played 5-on-8 every game.
I know, but this one feels like it could really be lopsided, especially after LeBron came out and threw his little temper tantrum. We set the over-under on free throws attempted for the Lakers at 26.5. You're taking the under. I'm hammering the over.
All right.
It wouldn't surprise me if they win tonight, but they're going to have to overcome a lot. It is not going to be a friendly whistle at all. I think it's going to be outrageous. I really do.
Third down.
Like, it's going to be just like, are you kidding me? Like, come on, NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Try to
at least fake it.
Try to fake it a little bit, right? NHL playoffs last night. Oh, apparently these Edmonton Oilers are not as unbeatable as some are saying.
Anderson now has the puck. Here's Kopitar with an opportunity, and he scores! The Kings captain, Anze Kopitar, the overtime hero for L.A., and the Kings steal game 2.
Yeah, L.A. Blew a 3-1 lead, a 4-3 lead, but in overtime they got it done. Kopitar with the game winner, so that series now tied at 1 apiece. Vegas beating Dallas to go up 2-0 on the road. Wow, Stars with the second most points in the NHL, most points in the Western Conference. Look like they are done. NBA really quick, Oklahoma City beat New Orleans. They're up 2-0. Miami shocked the Celtics as a 14.5-point underdog. The fraudulent Celtics going down at home. That series is tied at a game apiece. That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the Denver sports scene. We're asking the question of Broncos country, what will make for a successful night for you as a Bronco fan? And does Jamal Murray's game winner deserve a nickname? That's next.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
You know, let's face it. You can't have a moment like you had the other night, the end of game 2, the comeback from 20 points down, and not still enjoy the hangover. This is a hangover you enjoy. Kind of tough to turn the focus to game 3 tonight because we're all still kind of basking in the glow of what happened the other night. But does the game winner deserve a nickname?
Oh, yeah.
that will go down in Nuggets lore for the next 50 years, as Michael Malone called it.
It's one of the great clinching game. When you put it all into perspective, and I know it's game two of the first round, but one, it's the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
Two, they built a 20-point lead. Three, they were on fire, and you were stumbling around for the majority of that game. And you just continue to work until you gave yourself an opportunity to get a last-second shot. And then the guy who really struggled all the way up into the fourth quarter is the guy that hits an arcing shot over a seven-footer to win it, and everybody falls into the stands. It's got a bunch of big-time elements to it.
So it deserves its own nickname.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So we're asking you on the RamosLive.com text line for some of your ideas. How about this one? You've been saying that the Lakers are the Karen of the NBA. Mm-hmm. The Karen killer.
Karen killer. I like that. I still like the Hail Murray.
I like Hail Murray.
That's my favorite so far in the clubhouse.
Okay, that's the leader in the clubhouse. Okay, you're kind of winning me over, because my first thought was, well, you know, the Nuggets have higher goals than just round one, game two.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Come on, this is the team, they're the defending champs. We expect them to win another one. You know, should we be talking about a game winner, even though it was a cool shot, to win game two of round one as being, you know, up there in Denver sports lore? I get all, you know, my first reaction was, we're kind of overrating it. But then when you start to talk about it, the Lakers and what the Lakers have represented to the Nuggets for so long, the largest playoff comeback in Nuggets playoff history, the first game winner walk-off in Nuggets playoff history, start putting all those elements together, maybe it does.
Yeah.
Deserve its own nickname. How does it rank among the all-time great Denver sports walk-offs? That's walk-off baseball, overtime hockey wins, overtime mm-hmm. football wins, last play of the game football wins. Where does it rank? Like for example, like you immediately think of Matt Holliday in the wild card game, game number 163, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Don't look at the replay. Thank God there was not instant replay review there, but pay no attention to that.
You mean where he scratched his face across the plate?
Did he?
Yes.
I mean, he scratched his face, but did he scratch it on the plate?
All right.
Tebow to DT?
Tebow to DT. One of my first walk-off was Elway to Rod Smith. Rod Smith's first catch.
Okay.
In his career.
Okay.
Against Washington.
Yep. So anyway, just toss that out there as well. We're asking for your contributions on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. If the Broncos give up two future first-round picks for J.J. McCarthy and he turns out to be a bust, I'm done as a Bronco fan.
No, you're not.
No, you're not. But I can see how you'd be.
You'd be disgusted, but you're not going to be done.
As far as the whole idea of moving up, I'm torn, because if Sean gives up a bunch of draft capital to move up for a guy, I mean, you come away as a Bronco fan like, wow, he loves this guy.
Yes.
This is his breeze.
Yeah.
And in some respects, you can get really, really excited about that. I could. But I guess for me, I'm hoping that Sean is one of those guys that feels like he can do more with less. And then he doesn't have to overreach. Mm. He doesn't have to overextend. He doesn't have to give up a bunch of capital. That he can look at some. And it goes back to that whole comment that he made at the start of this whole process at the combine.
Sometimes it's not as difficult as we make it out to be. And then sometimes, listen, it's very difficult. And so I think we'll be really good at this. And I think to some degree we're glad that a lot of people aren't.
See, I take that. That is a confident, cocky, arrogant comment right there. And I love it. But when I hear that, I don't hear, okay, let's give up a bunch of draft capital, go up and find a guy. I hear, we're better at this process than you are, and so I don't have to give up all this draft capital. I can find another quarterback staying at 12 or even trading back and taking this guy later in the first round or even taking a guy in the second or third round that I can turn into a star. That comment that he said at the combine is not the comment of somebody who feels like, God, I got to give up the next two or three drafts to go get this guy.
Correct. I think the other thing is there are enough teams out there, and he's saying, you know, thank goodness there's a lot of teams that are not very good at this. There's enough teams out there. What do I always tell you? There's 12 teams in the league that are actually about winning championships. So it means there's 20 teams that aren't. There's a reason the Jets are always drafting high. There's a reason the Cardinals are always drafting in the top, you know, 5 or 10. There's a reason that the standard teams are always picking early in the draft because they're not good at it. They're chasing the same players over and over again. They're not organizationally sound. They're not truly about winning championships. This is their time of year to shine. You know, it's always fascinating to me the day after the draft you get draft grades on guys that you have no idea whether they can play or not. No idea if the NFL is going to be something that's the next step and easy for them or it's going to chew them up and spit them out. But we'll give a grade to a team that drafted some guy we don't know.
Coming up at 7:45, we're going to talk to Michael Thompson, who is the we had him on before the series. Now that the scene is shifting to L.A., we're going to have him on. He's the former Laker Showtime member, NBA champion, who's now their color commentator on their radio broadcast. So we'll have him on coming up at 7:45. Then we're going to do our own morning show mock draft with contributions from around the NFL world. So that's all coming up at 7:45 tonight. We got our NFL draft party going on at Dave and Buster's in Denver. It starts at 4 p.m. This is the Dave and Buster's I-25 in Colorado. From 4 to 6, we're going to do a special roundtable hosted by Zach Bye, featuring Brandon Stokely, Philip Lindsay, and my man Mark Schlereth. And then from 6 to 10, NFL insider James Palmer, Cecil Lammy, John Davis will take you through the NFL draft. That's today, starting at 4, live from Dave and Buster's in Denver. What's trending next?
Here's Schlereth and Evans with What's Trending right now.
Latest draft day rumors as we get things started here today. You know, I'm checking my Adam Schefter, my Ian Rappaport, and so far things are quiet. For all the talk, Mark, of blockbuster trades moving up, do you think we'll get one? Is there a team that makes a blockbuster trade? I guess maybe the other way of looking at it. Is there a team that's currently sitting there high that you believe trades out? Do you believe New England trades out at 3? Do you believe Arizona trades out at 4? The Chargers at 5?
Yeah, I believe there's a bunch of teams that could trade out. So there's one of those. I think one of those teams will make a move. You know, the team that intrigues me that I've heard the most about moving up is Minnesota. And whether that's moving up, you know, to 8 with Atlanta or 6 with the Giants, I don't know. But that's the one that I think has the most ability and draft capital because they have two first rounders. I think they have the number 11 and then like the number 23 pick or something like that.
Okay, but if you're in New England, Arizona, or Chargers, you got to be convinced that, man, this guy that you absolutely love that you would take at 3, 4, or 5 is still going to be there at least 11. Otherwise,
if you're trading out of that, you don't absolutely love a guy.
Correct.
So what does it matter?
All right, well, let's say the Chargers.
All right.
Chargers are in a great spot, you know, because at least for now, they think they have their quarterback. So
yeah, well,
they can draft. Does Jim Harbaugh strike you as a guy who's going to be like, man, I just want to get myself the best offensive lineman out there, and I'm not moving.
No. So he wants to get the best offensive lineman out there, but he knows there's enough stupid teams
that are going to overdraft quarterbacks
and wide receivers
that will drop guys down. And he could probably trade back to 11 and still get that stud lineman.
And they're not going to get Alt. I think Alt will go to Tennessee. Tennessee's had a left tackle issue now for a couple of years they've been trying to solve. And Andre Dillard, the kid they signed out of Philadelphia, didn't solve that issue. So I think they'll go in that direction. But you can get the kid from Penn State. You can get the kid from Oregon State. You got, you know, I mean, there's a plethora of different guys you can get at 11. So I think that's a very likely scenario for Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers.
I don't think New England trades back because I think Robert Kraft's son is sneakily involved. He's sneaky involved in the, I think he's getting a chance to play general manager.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's kind of like little, like junior Jerry Jones.
Right.
And I think Jonathan Kraft thinks that he knows football now. And I think he's going to be involved in this, and he's going to push for a quarterback. So I think if anybody trades out, it's going to be the Chargers.
Yeah, I think Arizona is trying to trade out.
Really?
Yeah. I think they are. What's the guy's name? Monty Austin Ford?
Austin Ford, yeah.
I think he is open for business.
Okay. Well, if that's the case, then it's Arizona.
So then they'll have two first-rounders to screw up.
Right.
Or three first-rounders to screw those picks
up. So you're saying the draft starts with Arizona at four? Or do you think it starts with New England at three?
I think a lot of people said New England at three. I think after the last couple of years without a quarterback and since Tom Brady's left, I think they'll fall victim to the quarterback. We got to have one mentality. And who's ever left over, whether it's Jaden Daniels or Drake May, that guy's going to be great.
Yeah. Robert Kraft's been taking a lot of heat lately.
Yeah.
A lot of heat. And I think this is his way of easing off the pressure, easing off the hot temperatures that arise and say, hey, look, we got our future stud quarterback to replace Tom Brady.
Correct.
All right. The Lakers Nuggets tonight. I know we got to turn the page to game three, but I'm still feeling the buzz of the other night. Michael Malone on why the Nuggets were able to come back.
X's and O's, drawing up a play, that's all good. That's fine. But I think what ultimately it comes down to is relationships and the connection and the chemistry and the love that our group really has for each other. And even when we weren't playing well, each huddle was, there was no panic. There was no, what do we do? It was, stay with it. They're making really tough shots. We were 2-for-16 on wide open threes. 2-for-16. Keep on shooting the ball. We're getting the shots that we want. And I think because you stay together, because you stay positive and stay connected, that allows a comeback to happen.
You can react to that. What I just want to say is that every single basketball or hockey press conference needs to be done while workouts are still going on in the background.
Yeah.
Did you hear that? The squeaking of the sneakers, the bouncing of the basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I love the...
Thought hearing, I heard a dead spot.
You know, hearing during a hockey workout, you know, you hear the ping off the crossbar or the shot rattling up against the...
Boards.
The glass.
Yeah.
Man, love the ambient sound there behind Malone, but you can comment on what Malone
said. Let me ask you a question. All right. What is more likely... The Lakers overcoming the hangover of the loss and playing well tonight, or the Nuggets letting the hangover of that win hang in the air and them not playing well?
I think it's more likely a letdown.
Nugget letdown.
If they don't win tonight, it's going to be pretty obvious to all of us that they had a...
That was just an emotional...
Yeah, an emotional hangover. Okay, they lost the game. They'll regroup, reset, and go win game four. They're going to split. Don't worry. They are not going to lose both games there. They will split, and they will come back and finish this off in a
gentleman's
sweep.
I thought they'd win tonight and then lose the next game in L.A. and then come back and win at home. But I just felt like they'd split in L.A. and then come back home and win the thing.
What would be more satisfying for Nugget fans? To sweep the Lakers again on their home court or come home and bury the dagger in them at home?
Ooh.
I'll throw that out there.
Yeah.
I'll throw that out there.
I'd like them to sweep them again because it would, the I mean, Windhorst would be apoplectic if that happened.
Sweeping them on the Lakers' home court would be so sweet.
Right.
I know
that's
always
what they did last year, right?
I know there's always a certain appeal of being able to do it at home and everyone party, celebrate, all that. But just to, I mean, the dagger's already in there. Just to drive it in a little deeper.
Right.
Brilliant.
J.J. Redick on his podcast just marveling at Jamal Murray.
Jamal Murray is a killer. Like, his mindset around struggling as bad as he did for three quarters and then to hit five contested jumpers, including the game winner, against an all-defense level player. One of the best defenders in the NBA, no question. One of the best individual defenders in the NBA, in Anthony Davis. The confidence, the mindset, Jamal Murray's a killer.
It's true. Jamal Murray has not had a good game yet in this series.
No.
He's had a memorable finish.
Mm-hmm.
But his two games, start to finish, he has shot 9 for 24 in both games. He's 18 for 48, 37% in the two games thus far.
Give me an idea.
What's that?
No, I'll share it with you.
Oh. Coming up?
Yeah.
All right, fine. Finally, NBA and NHL playoffs. In case you missed it last night, Oklahoma City blows out to New Orleans. They're up two games to none. Heat beat the Celtics, the fraud Celtics. Do you know the Celtics are now 13-16 in their last 29 home playoff games?
Really?
Yep.
They are fraud.
They are frauds. Frauds.
They're just not mentally
frauds.
Tough.
You're not that guy, Pelt.
It's why beating the Lakers is so satisfying, because the Nuggets get all the residual benefits of beating. You want the Celtics to emerge out of the East and then be, because then they'll bring all of their attention and ESPN will jump behind them.
Uh-huh.
And then the Nuggets will hammer them. Hammer them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and in hockey, you got the Vegas Knights, the LTIR. I now call them the LTIR Knights, the long-term injury reserve Knights, nice. Because, man, they have worked that loophole like nobody else. Hey,
I know. I'm not mad at them.
I'm not mad at them either.
Yeah.
It's a loophole.
Yeah.
Take advantage of it. And let's face it. Let's be honest. Any Avalanche fan out there that criticizes Vegas for what they do with LTIR, secretly, you're just jealous, and you're kind of envious. Why doesn't our team do that as well?
Yes.
That's how I look at it.
Absolutely.
Take advantage of it. They're not going to close that loophole.
Smart.
If they're not going to close the loophole, take advantage of it.
Yeah, I mean, we're about ready to get Landeskog off that.
Right. Any minute now. Coming up next, Michael Thompson, the voice of the Lakers, and as somebody wanted me to point out, Klay Thompson's dad. Really? So is that how you work as a dad? You're defined. You are flat out defined by what your son does, not what you do. I choose to look at Michael Thompson as NBA champion, part of the Showtime Lakers, terrific player, great. Who also may happen to be the dad of somebody famous. Anyway, he'll join us. And our morning show mock draft coming up next.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
We'll get hooked up here with Michael Thompson in just a second, the play-by-play color commentator for the Lakers on radio, as we talked to him before the series, and we'll get the thoughts on the Lakers, what to expect from them tonight in Game 3. Then we'll get to our mock draft, as we've had a chance to reach out and talk to a bunch of people around the different NFL cities picking ahead of the Broncos. And we'll get their picks, mix in a couple of our own with what we've learned from people we've talked to, and see if we can't put together a little bit of our own morning show mock draft for the 11 picks before the Broncos at 12. But join us now on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline for the second time in this series. It is Michael Thompson. Michael, good morning.
Good morning to you guys, not for us so much.
Yeah, I mean, like, that was probably the best three quarters of basketball that the Lakers have played all you know, season. And then to have that much of a devastating loss, to go home with that, like, how do you recover from that, and how have you seen them respond to it?
Mark, you a big time athlete, and know what it's like to be at that level. And all of a sudden, I'd be like playing football for 59 minutes and 58 seconds, and then some little kicker comes in there from 70 yards away and nails a three-pointer to win by one. Imagine how that would make you feel.
Right.
But yeah, that was, you know, it's like Denver plays in the Mile High City, and it's almost like you need a mile lead to beat this team, because 20 points obviously wasn't enough to have a big enough lead to come back. Jamal Murray was cold as a Canadian cold front in the first 36 minutes, and then he sees one shot going in the fourth quarter, and that unleashes him, shows why he's one of the best clutch players in the game. And then that flipping Jokic, I don't get this guy, man. You know, you watch him, you guys have seen him play every game, and we watch him play a lot. This guy plays, you know, he sit there and you analyze him and say, who does he play like? What is his style? You know who Jokic looks like he's playing like? He plays like he's still warming up. You know, like you see guys do their drills before the game, like he's doing his little drills, not really stressing and not really under pressure, but like he's practicing his moves against an assistant coach, but he's doing it against Anthony Davis. it's amazing to watch how this guy is so efficient, so good, so smooth, and you can't hurry him up, you can't frustrate him. He just keeps on doing it like he's just going through his practice drills like it's no big deal. He's just an amazing player to watch. And Denver's tough because they've got two of the best closers in the game, and then they got the players around them who understand their role and play off those guys and do it so well. So that's why they're so tough to put away. They're like a vampire. You think you got him, but then he pops up again.
Visit with Michael Thompson. Michael, as you look back on game two, what happened? Because the Lakers were playing so well, so disciplined, and they had built the big lead. I thought there was a stretch there where they started to get a little bit lazy offensively and started to, you know, take the first available three. They got a little bit sloppy. And then as they started to miss shots and the Nuggets started to put a little run together, it just looked like the Lakers really tightened up, really got tight. How, from your vantage point, what happened to that team that was playing so good, so connected for 2.5 quarters?
Yeah, three things. They got sloppy. They got some crucial fourth quarter turnovers, and Denver's so good. You can't give them extra possessions like that. And like you say, the rebounding sort of sloughed off. And then lastly, I kept asking during the broadcast, has anybody seen Anthony Davis? He took one shot in the fourth quarter. I mean, how's a guy who's 13 or 14, 14 or 15 through three quarters not touch the ball in the fourth quarter? At least go through him and let him stay in some kind of rhythm. So they just completely got away from Anthony Davis, and the ball stopped moving in the fourth quarter. And you hit any kind of like little rut, a little kind of a slump for 3 or 4 minutes. That's going to open it up for Denver to go on and run of their own. You have to keep scoring against the Nuggets in the fourth quarter because they're not going to stop.
So moving forward to tonight's game, the key from your perspective as the Lakers analyst, what do they have to do to make this a series?
Got to get off to a fast start tonight. Get the crowd into the game, because if they fall behind early, 8, 9, 10 points, man, Denver's so good as playing with the lead. So the Lakers have got to come out and send the message right away. And that doesn't mean the Nuggets are going to go away, because they don't stop competing against you. But in the fourth quarter, they got to take better care of the ball, and they got to get every defensive rebound. Got to keep Jokic off the glass. He's so good at using his length and his positioning to get keep second shots, and also Aaron Gordon, keep his second possessions alive. So Lakers have got to execute in the fourth quarter, because you know the Nuggets are going to do it. So fourth quarter, that's where championships are won, or series are won. So with the Lakers' experience, they should be able to take care of that here tonight at home.
Last one, Michael Thompson is our guest. Michael, were you disappointed at all in the way that LeBron James handled his press conference? Rather than really taking responsibility and making it about the blown lead, that he instead went off about the officiating, the replay center, and then dropped the mic and walked away?
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. If I was a player, I tried not to blame the officials. Yeah, you're going to get bad calls in the first quarter. You're going to get bad calls in the fourth quarter. You got to play through those. And as a player, I always took it upon my responsibility as myself as teammates that we got to hold the lead. It's our job to hold the lead. And, yeah, we're going to get some calls against us. You have to expect that when you're on the road. It's always been that way. It's the history of basketball that the home team sometimes gets the favorable calls, and you got to play through that. So that's the way I always approach things, man. It's my fault to be lost, not the referees. That's the way I looked at it.
That's the best.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I know you're aware, right, of the massive, massive difference in free throws attempted by the Lakers compared to their opponents, compared to the rest of the NBA, right? You're aware of that.
Oh, yeah, I know that. But that's, you know, that was like in the first half of the season. You know, since the All-Star break, the officiating has changed, and they allow a lot more contact now for players in the paint going to the basket. And now you have to adjust to that and understand that and just ignore. You're going to get fouled, and you're not going to get the calls. And you just got to, you know, be mentally tough and play through that and keep playing and not complain to the refs so much, because now calls are not being called as they were back in November, December, and January.
You roll your eyes about the way the game is officiated compared to the way it was officiated when you played?
No, I like it. I like this new style because it allows more contact now. It allows guys to play defense. Before, the NBA gave the officials the edict to allow more contact. I mean, the games were so boring and slow because there'd be so many free throws. Now, guys have to adjust and learn how to play through contact. A lot of the way they play through FIBA basketball, international basketball, is a lot like that, too. You got to just ignore the referee sometimes and expect to get hit and just play through it. So I like this new style, this new officiating style.
All right. Michael Mann, we appreciate you. All the best. Thanks for jumping on.
Looking forward to coming back 2-2 for game 5.
All right. You hot snot, you. Yeah, all right. See. All right. Michael Thompson, the color commentator for the Lakers on their radio broadcast, joined us before the series. Join us right now. He says it was important. He says it's important for the Lakers to get off to a fast start. And one of our astute listeners quickly picked up on that and texted in, didn't the Lakers get off to good starts in games 1 and games 2? What did it do for them? Good point. That said, do you really think a Laker team that falls behind by 16 coming off what just happened in game 2 seems like the kind of Laker team that's going to somehow, you know, put together some miraculous, you know, this is it, boys. We got nothing to lose. Charge.
You got to get off to a fast start, have a fast middle, and a good end. They got to play a complete game. From start to finish, I just don't know that they have what it takes to start to finish. Because, man, the Nuggets are just like a train once it gets going. Really hard to stop.
See, I would think the Lakers, deep down, you know, subconscious, it's hope for the best, expect the worst. Because I think they'll come out with that feeling, that bravado of let's go, let's bring this thing back.
Right.
And I wouldn't be surprised if they jumped out to an early lead. Uh-huh. But in the back of their mind, it's going to be there.
Right.
You know, are the Nuggets going to flip the switch? Are the Nuggets going to start to make a run?
Mm-hmm.
And if they start to make that run, will that demoralizing attitude settle in like, oh boy, here we go. Here they come again. We don't have an answer.
I would imagine. I mean, I know what it's like to be in a game where you don't have an answer, or to be against an opponent where you just don't have an answer, where the team is really...
You've been on both sides of it.
Oh, yeah. Been on both sides of it. But it is demoralizing, even when you have, like, you're playing really well. And, you know, you take a lot of credit for making them play poorly, but you know they're playing poorly. And you know, at some point, they're going to start hitting shots or going to start making plays or whatever the case may be. And you know that you have not had the answer for them. I mean, at my first 2 years in the league, and it went back beyond that before I got there, when I was with the Redskins, they could not beat the Giants. And we played some really good games. We played our best game, and they still find a way to beat us.
On the RamosLaw.com text line, Evans is a spokesman for Kroenke Sports. Yeah. Ask the people over there about all the wonderful things I've said about the way they've handled the TV dispute. We've had no issues. Please.
Why are you a spokesman?
How am I a spokesman? One team's the NBA champions, and the other is a team that just showed their mental toughness the other night and evening up the series at a game apiece. This is...
I love you guys.
It's not... Don't worry. I'm not going full Kiefer on you. Don't worry about it, okay? That'll never happen. the Nuggets have, I would say, have done enough to earn the benefit of the doubt, would you say?
Yes.
And all they've done in these first two games has shown that there's a reason why we give them the benefit of the doubt. And until they show conclusively that we shouldn't give them the benefit of the doubt, I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. This is KKFC. Right.
Preach, coach, preach.